Major support for Louisiana Eats on WWNO provided by Zatarain's, proud producers of authentic New Orleans-style cuisine. Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889.
From WWNO New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. Since his late teens, Dr. Tim Harlan has had a love affair with food. He began working as a chef and young restaurateur, but when internal medicine became his passion, he discovered that food could indeed be the best medicine of all. And that's how Tim became Dr. Gourmet. This week, we'll also examine the positive effects nutrition has on people living with HIV/AIDS. We'll talk with T.J. Rogers of the No AIDS Task Force, the oldest HIV/AIDS service organization in the Gulf South. We're cooking up some good medicine on this week's Louisiana Eats. Internist Dr. Tim Harlan is medical director at the Tulane University School of Medicine. But before he was a doctor, Tim was a chef and restaurateur. He carries that culinary interest forward today with his alter ego, Dr. Gourmet. Tim, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
It is fabulous to be here, Poppy.
Now, please introduce us to Dr. Gourmet and explain his origins.
Well, Dr. Gourmet is kind of an, it's my alter ego, as you say. So I am Dr. Gourmet. But Dr. Gourmet is also kind of a business or an entity, world headquarters here in New Orleans. We are a small publishing firm. We also have a website, drgourmet.com. We have thousands of people who come to the website every day. And really the core of what we do and the core of what I do as Dr. Gourmet is I translate the best quality nutrition research for the public. And there's been a lot of confusion, you know, in the last 20 years about diet and nutrition research. And the nice thing is in the last 10 years, we've got terrific quality studies that says you can and should be eating great food because that is eating healthy.
So what is wrong with Americans in their relationship with food today?
Well, you know, in the last 30 years, I think probably the number one problem that's happened with us is the easy access to calorie-dense foods. You know, fast food, obviously. And, you know, those calorie-dense foods are not only very high in calories, but at the same time, the quality of those calories is really terrible. So highly refined flours, refined sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and then just, you know, less vegetables, less of all those really great quality ingredients that you and I, as cooks and lovers of food, want in our kitchens and our pantries.
Well, I noticed that you have a very different attitude towards things that are often forbidden in usual diet lingo, words like carbohydrates and fats.
Yeah, it's a real challenge, I think. The research, unfortunately, in the early 1970s, there really was very poor quality research as far as diet and nutrition was concerned. And, you know, our friend Dr. Atkins, misguided though he was, decided that carbohydrates were the reason that we were fat. And interestingly, at the time when he published the Atkins diet, the very first publication, you know, we really weren't that overweight as a nation. So for a long time, you know, carbohydrates got a bad name. And they got a bad name with no evidence at all, no research. He just made this up one day on the way to work on the subway. And then in the early 1990s, you know, because of the idea that high serum cholesterol is linked to heart disease and stroke, et cetera, people started thinking that it had to do with fat and especially saturated fat. Well, what it's really about is it's really about eating great food. You know, so I'm here to tell you saturated fat is not bad for you. More saturated fat than good quality unsaturated fats like olive oil and grapeseed oil and nuts and seeds, yeah, that can be bad. But it's not about a low-fat diet. It's not about a low-carbohydrate diet. It's about eating really great food and eating a balance of those great foods.
Well, you really push forward this concept that this ancient, really, way of eating, the Mediterranean diet, is really the best philosophy. And that term has been around for a while, and I think that there's a lot of confusion that surrounds it. So tell us about the Mediterranean diet.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that it's necessarily confusion as much as when I say Mediterranean diet to you, you think...
I think olive oil,
hummus,
yes.
Greek salad. You know, you think all these exotic recipes. And so when we talk about Mediterranean diet from the nutrition literature, what it really means is a way to look at the ingredients that go into those foods, into the pantries, if you will, and the refrigerators of those folks who live in countries that surround the Mediterranean. So while you might think that it's about recipes, it's really about the food. And those are nine basic principles. But those nine are really simple, and they're really common sense. More fruits and nuts, more vegetables, more whole grains, and less refined grains. So more whole wheat flour, more brown rice, etc. Legumes, big, big fan of legumes. Beans, peas, peanuts, peanut butter. The fats we already talked about, so better quality fat and more unsaturated, less saturated fat. Lean meat and less meat. They don't eat a lot of meat, but they do eat meat, and meat's okay. But it's the quality of meat, so red meat is not bad for you, but bologna, hot dogs.
Hello.
You know, exactly. More fish. They do consume more fish. Dairy, less dairy and lower fat dairy. And then the last one is alcohol in moderation. You know, it's kind of hard to keep all nine of those straight in your head, but you can go to the drgourmet.com website. There's section after section that'll explain all that to folks.
So what are the benefits? What's this going to do for you?
Well, again, the research says that when they look at Mediterranean diet score, so they take those nine elements, and if you're good in an element, you get a point on the Mediterranean diet score. If you're not so good, you don't get a point. It's really just that simple. And when they looked at these cultures, if you just improved your score, say from a 5 to a 7, so you ate more whole grains and you ate more vegetables, that's it. You just make that simple change. You reduce your risk of dying. This is death, what we think of as the ultimate endpoint in research.
It's worse than being fat.
Right, worse than being fat. Reduce mortality from all causes by 25%. I mean, it's huge. It doesn't take a lot of changes. So what I do as Dr. Gourmet, there are two parts of this dialogue that I think get lost in America. One part is the weight gain and the obesity issue, and that's very important. But the other part of the dialogue that gets lost in that, the quality of those calories that you consume. You could be overweight, you could be obese, you could eat a Mediterranean-style diet, and I've got evidence that shows you will have much less chance of being hypertensive, diabetic, having heart disease. So it's about the quality of the food that you eat.
People often think that the food of Southern Louisiana is unhealthy. Boom, we get that stamp. But you actually see similarities between the Mediterranean diet and the way we eat.
Well, we live in Louisiana, so you got to stop and think about who's owned Louisiana. French have owned Louisiana. The Spanish have owned Louisiana. So there's these big Mediterranean influences right out of the box. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Holy Trinity is Spanish. You know, all of these spices that we use in the South especially, but also specifically in Louisiana, they're very Spanish, very French. There's a big Italian influence. We have this North African influence. So all of these influences, you know, red beans and rice is in many ways the epitome of Mediterranean diet. Think about it in terms of the 19th century. Unfortunately, what happened in the 20th century and after World War II is a lot of those really fantastic recipes, they got corrupted. You know, rather than starting with great quality olive oil, people start with a big glob of lard or a big glob of Crisco, even worse.
The worst.
And so a lot of those recipes that are very prototypical Mediterranean, shrimp etouffee, red beans and rice, gumbos, you know, all of these are very, very Mediterranean in their origins.
Your new book, Just Tell Me What to Eat, it's actually a cookbook. It's so interesting to me because it really combines your abilities as a chef and your knowledge as a doctor. Tell me about the book and what you're trying to do with it.
for me personally, for Tim Harlan, for Dr. Gourmet, it's about the food first. So, you know, I can talk to patients all day and all night about, you know, either losing weight or eating healthier. But if it isn't really great food and the recipes aren't fantastic and they don't taste great, you know, why bother? Unfortunately, in the 1970s, you know, we got that kind of hippy-dippy health food store. You know, you walk into the health food store and it just smelled funny. Well, that's not eating healthy. You know, eating healthy is great quality steak served with a baked sweet potato and really lovely vegetables. So, you know, it's about the quality of the food first. What Just Tell Me What to Eat does is it helps folks do three or four things. One, it explains the literature and explains what the research says about diet and nutrition today, weight loss, how to eat healthy, how to treat high blood pressure, diabetes with diet. The second thing that it does is it's a six-week plan. A lot of folks in America don't know how to cook anymore. So what I wanted to do was create a plan that if you just followed that plan for 6 weeks, and the recipes are there, the menus are there, the shopping lists are available on our website as part of our software, our menu building software. So all of that is there. It's a no-brainer. I was going to call it the no-brainer diet, actually, at one point. And so if you followed that 6 weeks all the way through, not only would you stock your pantry, restock your pantry with really great quality ingredients, you know, things that you might not think of, but that are actually fantastic, you know, brown rice, whole wheat pastas, quinoa, beans, lots and lots and lots of beans, veggies, the spices you need, the herbs you need. But also it shows you how to do those techniques of searing and cooking and roasting and baking. So how to do all those techniques. And then the last piece of it is that when you get to the end, everything's there. You've kind of learned how to cook, you've stocked your pantry, and you've got a whole group of recipes that you know how to follow.
Bravo. Well, I know that you believe that the right foods can often be the very best medicine. And, you know, there are these obvious things like diabetes. But tell me about some of the other medical conditions that you think can be addressed through diet.
Well, diabetes is, you know, kind of at the top of the list. And there's great research that says Mediterranean diet helps lower blood sugar. And in one study actually helped about 55% of people even avoid medication completely. A great study out of Naples, Italy, actually. So another Mediterranean.
There you go.
All of the research that we have now, what you may have heard of is the DASH diet, the TLC diet, all of these diets that have been studied as part of the National Institutes of Health, they have their foundations in Mediterranean diet. So DASH diet, for instance, lowers blood pressure really dramatically, not a little bit. And in stage one, people with just sort of the first stage kind of low-grade hypertension, if you will, high blood pressure, DASH diet showed that they can control their blood pressure just with diet alone. And all of these problems, the cholesterol issue, which we know can be controlled with diet, diabetes, high blood pressure, those are the kind of the trifecta that lead to heart disease, that lead to atherosclerosis, that lead to stroke, and all of those diseases that go with that. And those are inflammatory states. And a lot of the reasons that the quality of the food matters and a lot of the reason that these ingredients matter is because they are less inflammatory. They help reduce that inflammation. Even in the DASH diet study, for instance, they even showed that those folks who had hypertension, who had very poor control, just following the DASH-style diet, which again has its foundations in Mediterranean-style diet, had more optimized control on the medication they were taking. There's a great study, for instance, that looked at about 400,000 AARP participants in the study and looked at their Mediterranean diet score. Now, these are people not eating Mediterranean recipes. They're eating American recipes. And the higher they were on that Mediterranean score, the lower their risk of, again, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, heart attack, and as I said earlier, the ultimate endpoint, mortality.
Mortality. Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like we could go on forever about this whole food and medicine point of view thing. So, will Dr. Gourmet please come back and visit with us again on Louisiana Eats?
Absolutely. I want to come back in the next couple months. I've got some really exciting stuff to tell you about projects that we're doing at Tulane.
Dr. Tim Harlan, also known as Dr. Gourmet. time for our Louisiana Eats Culinary Quiz Question of the Week, brought to you with support from French Market Coffee. The correct answer to last week's question, what is the name that the fish sheep's head is also commercially sold as, is Rondo sea bream. This freshwater drum has also been called the convict fish because of its black stripes. Now let's see who this week's lucky winner is. Thomas Walsh, our Louisiana Eats producer, is manning the grinder.
If incorrect responses indicate how difficult the question is, then this past week's quiz was the most challenging we've produced. By Saturday afternoon, we still hadn't received a correct response, and I was wondering what we'd do without a legitimate winner. But then we heard from Miss Bridget Poole of New Orleans, who knew the answer to our quiz, and I was able to put this first world problem to rest. Congratulations to Bridget for winning our prize, and I hope we'll hear from you this coming week.
Our lucky winner will be receiving 3 full-size bags of French Market coffee, including dark roast with chicory, and French roast. This week's question is, what is the name of the heritage breed cattle indigenous to our area that farmer Justin Pitts raises? All correct answers received will be mixed together in our French Market coffee grinder, and one lucky winner will be chosen at random and announced on next week's show. Again, this week's question is, what is the name of the heritage breed cattle indigenous to our area that farmer Justin Pitts raises? Email those answers by midnight Sunday night to Louisiana Eats at WWNO with culinary quiz in the subject line, and you could be next week's lucky winner. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats. For over 29 years, the No AIDS Task Force has been serving the HIV/AIDS-affected community in New Orleans. For 17 of those years, the Food for Friends program has delivered meals to clients who are homebound or otherwise unable to prepare their own meals or shop. Over 39,000 meals were delivered by volunteers in 2011. Joining us to tell us more is No AIDS Task Force T.J. Rogers. T.J., welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Thank you so much for having me, Poppy.
T.J., what's the current status of the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Louisiana?
Recently, AIDS United just talked about how the South has really become ground zero for this epidemic. And the stats here are actually kind of pretty shocking. Baton Rouge is actually number one in the nation among cities for AIDS case rates, and New Orleans is number 5. The state of Louisiana is number 4 in the nation for AIDS case rates, so it's pretty staggering.
Tell us about the importance of nutrition in the lives of your clients.
Nutrition is a huge component. We have a number of clients, obviously, they're facing a lot of medical complications, not just with HIV, but with complications that come along with that. So with people living longer, we're seeing people with HIV as well as high blood pressure and diabetes and any number of conditions. So the nutrition aspect becomes really, really important and can actually get really, really complex.
So how do you all address that?
Well, one of the things that we do is we have a full-time nutritionist on staff who works with clients to develop a diet based around all of their various needs, things that interact with their medications, to deal with all of their different conditions. And then for clients who, like you spoke before, are unable to maybe go shopping or prepare meals for themselves, our nutritionist will work with our home-delivered meal program and see to it that they're getting meals brought to them twice a week. It's a combination of fresh meals as well as frozen meals that they can have all week long. And I think we had about 300 people receive that service last year.
Who funds this gargantuan effort?
Well, there's a whole lot of people who fund this. I mean, obviously, private donations are a really big part of it. There's a great organization called Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, that gives us a grant every year. The MAC AIDS Fund, which is, if they're familiar with MAC, Viva Glam lipstick.
I have my Viva Glam on right now.
Great. Well, 100% of the proceeds of that always goes in towards the MAC AIDS Fund, and we actually receive a portion of that every year, and it goes specifically to our food program. In fact, they and Broadway Cares helped us purchase the kitchen equipment for our kitchen, which we're readying to open this fall.
And you have one big single fundraiser every year, don't you?
Yes. Every year we do a big fundraiser called Dining Out for Life. We've been doing it for, I think, 17 or 18 years now. It's just a great event. Restaurants around the city join up and participate by donating 25% of their proceeds on the third Thursday in July, which this year is Thursday, July 19th. And they donate their proceeds, 25%, back to the task force for our programs and services. And this year we've got over 75 restaurants. You know, we've got some great longtime participants. We've got some new participants. And what's great about it is all you have to do is go out, eat, enjoy a really great meal, and then 25% of that comes back to us.
Tell me, who are some of the participants?
Louisiana Pizza Kitchen, both in the French Quarter and Uptown, have been long time participants, as well as, you know, anything up to, like, fine dining. Bourbon House is doing it. Gautreaux's is doing it. Iris has been doing it for a number of years. So unlike other fundraisers, we have lots of restaurants that do all the meals that they're opened for. So feasibly, you could do breakfast, lunch, and dinner and dine out and fight AIDS. You can check out the website, noaidstaskforce.org or diningoutforlife.com, and they'll indicate which restaurants are participating in which meals.
That's fantastic. Well, I'll be looking for you out in the restaurants on Thursday, July 19th.
Sounds good, Poppy.
TJ Rogers of the No AIDS Task Force. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Next week, we talk barbecue with author John T. Edge.
When people decry barbecue in Louisiana, I point that place out. And I found other good places back when I was wandering about in Shreveport. Good barbecue in Louisiana are not mutually exclusive terms.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at wwno.org. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from French Market Coffee, Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, and Zatarain's. Additional support comes from Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse, Palace Cafe and the Bourbon House, Lights Egan Funeral Homes, and our media sponsor, Louisiana Cooking Magazine. Theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes, produced at Piety Street Recording. Thanks to Thomas Walsh, our co-producer and sound engineer. I'm Poppy Tooker. We'll see you next time. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO.